one person's doing good, and the other says it's just kinda, huh? How many's just doing okay? A couple okays. We can work with that, right? It's good to see you in God's house this morning. I know in today's time, it's just, it seems like this week, more and more people out here and through society are facing with this COVID and things going on. We need to pray for them. And but listen, I reminded this morning in a meeting, we have a deacon's meeting this morning. We talked, listen, we still have a reason to celebrate, amen? I know this week at school, we talked to a lot of different people, said they're going to celebrate Christmas in a little different way, but that's okay. But listen, the main thing is we celebrate Jesus' birth, amen? We're going to sing some songs about that today. We're going to talk about Scripture this morning as Joseph and Mary are on their way to pay their taxes and their census, but things change on the way. And I pray this Christmas for you guys, I've been praying all week, that we make more room for Jesus than we do for stuff, amen? I know we all out with opening gifts, and we've seen that this week at our house. Our kids have been opening a few gifts and things, but listen, my prayer has been for our community that somebody will open the greatest gift, and they'll receive Jesus into their life and make that lasting commitment that will last forever and ever and ever. It is a joy to see you this morning. Listen, I want to pray for you before we get started this morning. We got lots of different things we're going to do in our service today. Next week, we're going to sing lots of songs and read some scripture next week also on the 27th, kind of be our big Christmas service together. But this week, we want to kind of lead up to what we're going to get to celebrate next week. And I pray you have a great Christmas, guys. I really do. I pray whether you gather with your family or not, that you still have a blessed time together, because it is a great time of year and a great time of season. My wife and I, we went on a road trip yesterday. We went to a place called Michi, Tennessee. You can't get there from here. It is off, and we went, and I think that was the fastest place that I've ever eat a meal and was out of there. I don't know how fast it was. We got there at 3. We left at like 3:40. So if you want to, we was in and out, and then we went and celebrated our anniversary at Sam's by spending what little money we did have left, right? We went in for cereal, and next thing I know, it was $200-something later. So I said, what did we buy? We come in for a box of cereal, and we left with like all that. So y'all know how it is. You can't go in without buying 3 or 4 things you don't need. Then we get home, and Shelly said, we forgot to look for that. I'm like, did you see that we had everything we needed in here, right? So we see how it is in today's time. Guys, don't get caught up in everything, and really remember the reason for the season. Amen? And that is Jesus. And so this morning, as we pray before Mr. Ricky comes, and we got lots of working parts today, so just pray for our service today. Pray for our people that are not here this morning for various different reasons. I know we got some families that are still out dealing with the COVID issues, and some are a little uncertain about coming back and being in-person services, and that's okay. Somebody said this week, is your family going to celebrate Christmas together? I said, yes, we have that planned. And they didn't really agree with what I had to say, but that's okay. Listen, I don't agree. I'm not disagreeing if you don't, okay? You got to be at peace with what you do. I've got to be at peace with what I do. And listen, we can agree to disagree, and that's okay. So we want to make sure we don't forget what the good Lord wants us to do then this season. So let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this time. Father, we thank you for this opportunity, Father, to gather in your house, to sing songs of worship. And Father, this morning we know families are going through many different things, many different directions in their life, many different thoughts of should I get together, should I not, should I do this or should I not do that. But Father, in the great scheme of things, Father, we don't know what it all looks like. Father, we just want to follow you. Father, in our service this morning, Father, we want to be obedient to your spirit. We want to follow you in every direction of the service today, whether that be through singing a special song or a verse of a song or a whole song or just a word might have been shared before we even started this service this morning. Father, whatever that is, Lord, Father, we want your spirit to just roam freely in this place this morning. Father, I know our hearts are going through lots of emotions during this season. A lot of the young ones are excited about the Christmas presents and what they're going to receive. Father, I think about the shoeboxes that our church, we shipped just at our church not too long ago. Those young ones will receive that Christmas gift and the blessings that's inside of it. Father, I pray that those will help a change lives for the gospel. And Father, as we open up gifts this Christmas, Father, it's going to look different. Now, things have changed in some of our families' lives, and some will be there, some won't. Some have chose to come, some have chosen not. But Father, through all this, Lord, that we will take time and give thanks to you. Father, we will celebrate your birth. We will be obedient to your scripture, Father, and we will share your love to other people's lives. So this morning, Father, as we sing to a risen King today. The one who is sitting at the right hand of the Father, looking down on us this morning. So Father, stir our hearts. Father, open our eyes and open our ears, Father, to see and hear the things that you want us to carry away from this place today. Father, your spirit is welcome in this place today. Stir us up. Father, let us be changed people, not because of who we are, but because of who you are in our lives. Father, hide us behind your cross today. Let us be obedient to the things you want us to do. Lord, it's in your name we pray. Amen. Mr. Reed.
Thank you, Brother Malin. Thank you for praying us in the presence of the Lord this morning. Merry Christmas to everyone. It's a great time to be celebrating the birth of Jesus. Excuse me. This morning, we're going to be singing Joy to the World, the Lord has come, the first and last verse, hymn number 181. And in Luke chapter 2, Luke records the visit the angel had to the shepherds. And the angel said, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." Let's all stand and sing, "Joy to the World, the Lord is come."
Joseph Moore had been assigned to the parish, but he walked the streets with a heavy heart. Napoleon's war had wreaked havoc across Europe. Moore had witnessed firsthand the depression of the economy and the suffering of the village where he had once resided. There was no doubt the young priest sought after God's stillness and peace. And it was here, lost in the majestic view of the Tauern Mountain, where he penned the lyrics that reached for hope from the holy night that changed the world forever. As tradition tells it, 2 years later, Moore was preparing for midnight mass when he discovered their faithful organ had played its last note. Desperate to find a song for his parishioners to sing on Christmas Eve, Moore grabbed the lyrics he had written 2 years before, left his church, and journeyed to the home of his friend, organist Franz Gruber. He showed Franz the words and asked him to compose a simple melody that could be accompanied by only a guitar. And so, on December 24th, 1818, Moore's poetic expression of the birth of Jesus was sung by a humble congregation on a snowy, cold Christmas Eve, filling them with the hope of heavenly peace. Over the next century, Silent Night would spread across the world. And then, in 1914, those same lyrics, birthed in the aftermath of war, found their way back to the battlefield. On Christmas Eve, both English and German troops laid down their weapons and sang together about God's peace from deep in the trenches of the First World War. To this day, God pours out his gift of heavenly peace to all who will receive it. From high mountains to low battlefields, church choirs to families round the tree, we celebrate the very moment God transformed humanity by sending the greatest gift of all on that first silent and holy night.
Speak
record where Jesus called himself the light of the world. Luke 2, verse 10. The angel said to them, John, wrong scripture. John chapter 8, verse 12. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And also John chapter 12, verse 46. I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. Let's sing this little chorus, a beautiful Christmas carol. I have seen the light.
Love incarnate, love divine. Star and angels gave the sign. Bow to babe on bended knee, the savior of humanity. Unto us a child is born, he shall reign forevermore. Noel, Noel, come and see what God has done. Son of God and Son of Man, there before the world began, born to suffer, born to save, born to raise us from the grave. Christ the everlasting. He shall reign forevermore.
Mary, she was doing laundry, and then the angel just appeared and she was really scared. So Gabriel was like, Mary, you're going to have, Mary, you're going to have a baby. You're going to have a baby and you will call him Jesus. And then Mary was like, I'm not going to have a baby yet. I'm only a teenager. I'm not married. Then the angel Gabriel told Joseph that Mary is not lying. You are having a new baby. And so they met up. They went to Bethlehem, which was Joseph's old town.
They ride a donkey.
I don't know.
A camel.
Oh, yeah, a camel.
She said, this donkey's fast.
They tried to go to a hotel and
they asked the keeper for a place to stay. The keeper said,
we have no rooms. Literally, no rooms.
So Mary and Joseph walked away sadly, but then he said,
the only place in here in Bethlehem that you can stay is a stable. And then he just pointed the way and they followed.
When the shepherds were taking care of the sheep,
then they saw angels.
The angels said, a new baby is getting born, who is king of the Jews.
The angel was singing.
Glorious. And then the shepherds said, I think we should go there and meet him. The second, I think, said, yeah, I agree with you. And the other said, yeah, me too. They had to walk through a bunch of grass and bushes, maybe have to camp out a night. And then the wise men heard about it.
And then a star appeared.
Well, we should probably follow that star. It's pointing down to the barn.
So maybe we should follow it. Maybe. So the wise men went to Jesus.
They gave them gifts.
A stuffed animal, like a hippo one, they have at home.
Some diapers, and some wipes, and some milk, some shoes, some Jordans.
Gold ring and Latimer.
And I don't know how I would survive in that barn. Too stinky, too crowded, and ugh.
I think he probably pooped because the room was very smelly.
Thank you for coming.
He's adorable.
He's gonna be our best friend.
I love you, and you're the best baby I ever seen. There, I said it.
The new baby is gonna change the world.
Oh, amen. That's definitely a different view, a different set of eyes to what you and I see it through sometimes when we get to view the birth of who Jesus is. Amen. Let's pray together this morning. Father, we thank you for this opportunity we've had to come so far here today. Beautiful songs of worship we've been able to sing today. Father, this shows your goodness, shows who you are in our lives. And I know sometimes we laugh at videos like that, but kids see things so purely. They see things such in a way that we miss things even as adults sometimes. So this morning, Father, we pray that you let us see what we carry home from the service today. You're a great God. You've given us so much in 2020, even though it's been an up and down year in a lot of ways and a lot of people's lives. Father, you've still been faithful. So this morning, as we look at Joseph and Mary's journey, as they head to the direction you want them, they had to go in, Father, their lives are about to change. And as Joseph and them heads back to his hometown, Father, I pray that we look at our own journey of our life today. Father, we look at the things we do day in and day out. We look at the things that, how we conduct our families and how we do things, and make sure we leave room for you. So this morning, Father, speak to our hearts. We open your scripture. Show us, each and every one of us, what we can carry home today and pour to somebody else's life. Father, in your name we pray. Amen. Wave amen. If you have your Bibles, look with me into the book of Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. We're gonna look at the journey of Joseph and Mary this morning. Over the last couple weeks, we have looked at Joseph's life and Mary's life, and see how the unexpected things happened to them, how it wasn't planned, it wasn't on their radar, I don't think, of how things would play out in their lives. So this week, as we kind of dive in, as we look at these things, I want you to see about a journey that they head off on today as they head out. Listen, both of these encounters were very unusual. unusual that we've already looked at. So this week we're going to see some other things happening that are very unusual, very not planned, or maybe not even on the radar. The things that we have faced in 2020, there's not a manual of how to handle the things that we've had today. A lot of things have happened that nobody's ever heard of or seen before. So we got to figure out how to process all these, and everybody processes things different. But listen to this, church, a reminder of this. The Lord was with Joseph and Mary, and he'll be with us also. And you to think about that as you think about 2020 and even 2021. I told our deacons in this morning and our leadership this morning in a meeting, I said, I wish I told you had it all figured out in 2021 of what it's going to look like. But I don't know that anybody does, but God does, right? Because he says, I've already been before you. So we see this morning, as he was with Joseph and Mary, he'll be with us also as we take our steps in this life. Listen, this trip here would change their lives. It would change Joseph and Mary's life forever. Their life would never be the same, even though it's already, wouldn't you agree, it's already changed quite a bit just up to this, but this trip that they were going will change their lives. They will never be that same again. And listen, this trip would eventually change the world, wouldn't it? This trip right here would eventually change the world. It would eventually change what you and I look at. And what we get to celebrate today is the baby Jesus says with. That's a focal point of Christmas. But I love what a guy said this week. It should be Christmas every day. And he said, I'm not talking about unwrapping gifts and putting up trees and decorations. He said, it should be gifts. It should be Christmas every day that we celebrate Jesus. That we celebrate him in some way in our lives, every day of our life, whether that's sharing or whether whatever that is that we do, that's something we should do every day of our lives. And I agree with that this morning. Amen. It should be something special we do every day of our lives. And listen, this is not, traveling was not easy during this time. Remember, Mary was 9 months pregnant. And we'll look at later, the traveling methods wasn't good. Now, most people, you know, traveling at 9 months pregnant, you know, even as an emergency background I got, I didn't want to carry my wife nowhere when they were that pregnant. Why? You think of the labor, you got everything ready and everything. We'll look at that a little bit later. It's not normal to do these things. But Mary and Joseph did it. Why? Because they were faithful. He was faithful because he knew what he had to do. He knew what his responsibilities do and do that. We often think in our minds as they travel what that would have looked like with Joseph and Mary traveling along the way. I thought about that a lot this week, and you just think about them going out and leaving, what that looked like, and headed out on that journey that they would go. I'm going to read the first three verses this morning as we dive in. Then I'm going to show you another little video. But as we think about this today, and it says this, in those days the Caesar Augustus issued a decree to the census were to be taken the entire Roman world. This was the first census took place with Quirinius as the governor of Syria. And he says, as everyone went on their own to register. We see this was a census. It had to go. This was with the help with the military and to help with taxes. And Joseph had to go back. The Jews didn't have to serve in the military, but they had to pay taxes. So Joseph and Mary had to return back to their own hometown to register there. They had to do these things because this is what they want to do to keep from trouble. And I know none of us in here really gets excited when it comes time, tax time, right? Everybody in here, you just celebrate that time, don't you? Yeah, that's exciting time, right? Yeah, you just say, well, thank you, April's coming, right? I appreciate that. Now you've kind of, my first of the year has kind of got where I'm not excited anymore, right? So we see this, as Joseph and Mary was headed this way. And listen, this journey was not a normal journey, and we'll see that in a little bit. Mr. Gary's going to show us a video of what I believe it might have possibly looked like. Thank you.
Right, you guys. The Chumatara. You see on the top.
Town, it was very crowded, wasn't it? There's a lot of going on in that, and we'll look at it just a little bit later, but this is part of Mary and Joseph's journey as they were headed into this town to pay taxes, as they were traveling to Bethlehem, as they were going through this town. Listen, I want to read the next few verses. I'm going to read verses 4 through 7. We're going to talk about a few things this morning, and then we're going to get out of here today. But listen, it says, though Joseph also went up to the town of Nazareth in Galilee, to Judah, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because Bethlehem was a town of, it says, because he longed for the house of David. He was a line of that. And verse 5 said, he went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. In verse 7, it says, she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. We see kind of, the next thing we see, Joseph had to, he had to go to Bethlehem. And he had to go through a few towns on his journey, the Bible tells us, as he went through Galilee and to Judah, as he was traveling on through that. Our journey in this life will carry us to many different places. How many has experienced many different places in their life so far? As we go through many different stages of life, and I'm not just talking about places this morning, church, I'm talking about circumstances too. See, our life carries us through so many different circumstances and so many different changes. I can tell you this, when your life begins to feel like it's normal, it's about to change. And can anybody experience that? When you think you've got your life wrapped around or what's going on, you're like, hey, I've got this figured out. Life's not that hard, and all at once, things change, don't they? I remember somebody's talking about raising kids and all that, and I remember my wife and I sitting down and talking many times when your kid gets to seventh grade, and I told my wife, I said, well, eighth grade, we're going to just celebrate that, and now next year, my daughter will be starting her senior year, and I'm like, wow, how does that happen, right? I just want to slow down time sometimes and wrap my mind around what's going on, but it's evident in life that life just keeps changing, don't it? But it's how we change with that life, how we grow with Christ in the midst of that defines who it is. And Joseph's life was changing. He had to go through different places to get there. This was around an 80-mile trip, according to some of the scholars. How many of you want to make an 80-mile trip what we just seen? 80 miles would be about like going from Crockett Hospital to Vanderbilt, right? So later on today, we'll hitch up the mules and we'll head out, right? How many of you want to sign up for that and say, yeah, that's the, you know, I know a lot of times we look at all the new vehicles we got today. I think that was like the top of the line back then, right? Listen, I don't know exactly that's how it was and the way they traveled. They had a way to get there. It was 80 miles and it was definitely not an easy way to go. Listen, this was not a hop and skip. 80 miles then would have took you a long time to get there, right? And listen, 80 miles now, we can get there, in an hour and a half or better, or a little bit more, give or take less, according to how fast you drive and all those things, whether you get there and travel. It's not that big a deal. But 80 miles was a very, very long trip. Much less, she was 9 months pregnant, right? Most of us wouldn't sign up to go on that trip with the way they went, it not been with the circumstances there to be able to make that trip would have been just almost impossible for you to kind of wrap your mind around. Listen, David had to go through Bethlehem belonging to the house of David. And listen, the Bible tells us in Luke 1:27, as we see this verse, it said, to the virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, descended of David, the virgin's name was Mary. Listen, we've already looked at both of their lives. And we see how both of them reacted to the situation around them. How are you reacting to the things that are happening in your life as we go around? I know numerous questions have been hit the community, what's going on, and all these things that go today. Listen, my everybody says, how are you handling what's going on today? Listen, I'm taking one day at a time with Jesus. If you ask me about what's going on, the pandemic, it's bad and all these things and what's going on. But listen, church, my theory in life is I'm taking one day at a time. Because I don't want to live that day the way that the Lord wants me to do. Because listen, if I try to live way ahead, and I'm not saying you shouldn't be planned ahead, but if I try to live way ahead, I may miss something I need to do today or tomorrow. Living it one day at a time. Listen, and Joseph and Mary did this. And another thing we see in verse 6, I'm going to read that verse again. Listen, they make their trek there. They make their travel there. They arrive and they get there. And all this is going on. I imagine it was pretty crowded and all these things were going on. But in verse 6, it says, while they were there, and it says this, and it says, while, you think about when they get there, it says, while they're there, the time came for the baby to be born. And all this is happening, and they get there, and they arrive, and things start to change. How do you react when things start to change in your life? What's your response to when things start changing in your life? There's several different people probably sitting here this morning. Some people handle change very well, right? They're like, oh, I've got this. You know, that's good. I can kind of go with it. Some of you kind of can handle a little bit of change, but when things start changing a lot, you're like getting a little uneasy about things. And some of us just don't handle change well at all, do we? It gets us off the course of that. But listen, Joseph and Mary went to do the census, and they went to do these things. But while they're there, things start to change, and it changes at a right place. It says, you came, the time for the baby to be born. I want you to think about that. Is with time to be a baby, you think about when your little ones were to be born. Go back to that time when you've been waiting for that arrival. And I'll just share you a story. Most of you know our story, my wife and I's story, when we was expecting Shelby. And listen, we was going to doctor's appointments, but things changed in that pregnancy. Things changed along the way that wasn't on our radar, that we didn't even know was going on. And we about lost her early in the pregnancy, and Shelly had to be rushed to Vanderbilt for a special surgery. Listen, that was not the doctor's appointment we wanted to go to. That was not the results that we was expecting. Listen, we prayed. Several people prayed that those things wouldn't happen. Listen, but it happened. Things changed at a rapid pace. And during that, it was like every week we'd go back to the doctor and we would pray, not knowing that stitch was holding, not knowing what was going on in those circumstances, because things were changing all the time. Both of my kids couldn't wait 9 months to get in this world. They wanted to come at like 36 weeks or something. I don't know. They just couldn't wait to get here. My excuse is they couldn't wait to see me, and I don't know what everybody else goes with. But things were always changing. We were always changing. It wasn't on our radar. We as young parents, we wouldn't prepare for all of what was going to happen. Listen, but through that, look at Mary and Joseph's life was changing. God was with them. My life changes. My circumstances changes. As a believer, He is with me. And He says, I'll be with you every step of the way. Even though my life changes, circumstances changes, they're out of my control, sometimes He is with me every step of the way. Matthew 1, 21, 23 says this, you will give birth to a son and you will call him Jesus, because he will save people from their sins. Verse 22 says this, it's all that took place to fulfill the Lord through the prophet. He says, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and you will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. That means thankful that God is with us. I shared that verse last week and I'm going to share it again this week. And I wonder this, that you think about this. You think about being prepared for the baby. They made the trip, roughly an 80-mile trip. Now listen, I don't know about you, but when we got ready to go to the hospital, even the second time, it looked like we were moving out of the house, right? Who's with me? No man going to go with me. One. Jeff Dunn is actually the honest one in here. Because you had to have her suitcase, the baby's suitcase, and a suitcase for the neighbor, because in case he don't have enough clothes and all that, you get all that ready, and what? You got to go through the tutorial, make sure you get your car seat strapped in, right? I wonder if they strap one on the donkey. Nobody ever thinks that. Okay. I'm the only one in the place, right? So you think about that. You think about being prepared. Listen, being prepared in that time. Joseph and Mary went to do this. I don't know exactly all the things, if they was expecting what was going to happen. Listen, but they were going to this, into this thing, and their life was about to change forever. What do you think about the circumstances in your life has changed your life forever? Changed how you looked at people. Changed how you treated people. Changed how you love people. Listen, this morning, if you have not accepted Jesus as your Savior, you're missing that greatest change in your life. That greatest opportunity that will make you look at things different in your life. And listen, this morning as we go to verse 7, listen, this, she gives birth to her first child. And I never will forget that as long as I live, my first child was born with Shelby, and when she was brought in this world, and as a parent, when I got to hold her, I never will forget that in my life. I got to hold her for the first time and realized that this child was mine, that she was mine, and I had a responsibility of loving and helping her grow up in this world. I had that responsibility. Listen, our Savior Jesus holds us just like that. And you think about your child, and you remember when you bring them home, everybody's wanting to hold them and all that, and what do you want to do as a parent? You took time of handing that child over, didn't you? And you made sure that they had a good grip, make sure that hand was under their light, and you wanted to make sure, even though they've been holding babies for 40 years of their life, you're like, this is mine, right? I want to make sure you hold that one right, that you don't drop that one. Let me tell you something, church, that's what Jesus does for us. He says, you're mine. I want to make sure that you're held right, that you're loved right, that you're cared for right. Listen, his child, his son Jesus was born. Listen, and it changed their life. It was their first one. And it was the Holy Spirit, right? Not normal. Matthew 1:20 says, but after he had considered this, an angel appeared to him in a dream, he said, Joseph, don't be afraid. Take Mary as your wife. But what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Not a normal way of childbirth happens. Listen, this was a physical birth. Jesus was physically born. But it also was a start of laying out the path of a spiritual example for you and I. On Christmas Day was a start of being an example for how to live a life of love and how to live a life of continued fighting off temptation and the things that try to get them off path. But Jesus did it with in mind of, he had it focus on what God wanted him to have it on. Listen, Jesus died for our sins where we can have a spiritual rebirth. And he's thankful for that today. And we can have that spiritual rebirth in our life, and we can have that in many different ways. We can have that only one way, and that receiving Jesus as King. And I pray this Christmas, if you hadn't done that, that you make your way and you make your commitment to Christ. But the last one I want to kind of spend a little time this morning is the very last of verse 7, where it says this, and he gets to this point after she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in clothing. She wrapped him in this way. But listen, at the very last of that verse, it says, but there's no more room available for them. You think about this, Mary and Joseph, they went to this place, it was super crowded. It was a lot of things going on. There was no more room for them. It says, listen, and even after Jesus was born, he was wrapped in those clothes. I remember when Shanna was born and we were in the hospital with her, man, she had one of those crying fits. Anybody ever had one of those kids like that? Like you wish you had an off button you could reach over and like turn them down. And listen, that nurse was so good with us. Shelly and I had done tried everything. We had bounced, we had swung, and we had done everything. And that nurse came in there and she said, you mind if I think? I'm like, oh, please. You know, I was like, take this kid. I mean, do something, you know. And she just grabbed those clothes, that blanket, and she took Shanna and she wrapped her. I'm like, well, maybe not that tight. But she wrapped her arms and everything in there, and she tied that real snug, and she tucked it in, and she rocked her about just a little bit, and that kid quit crying just like that. She said, because babies are so used to being cared for that they want that security of knowing that they're wrapped tight. And I'm going to tell you something, church. Where do I share that this morning? In our lives, when we feel that Jesus is not there, he will wrap us that tight. Hemi's ever felt that comfort of knowing that, man, you know he's got you wrapped that tight. Mr. Gary, it's the greatest feeling ever, ain't it? Knowing the good Lord will just wrap us tight in our lives. Listen, the motion of this, a lot of people think that Jesus this way in this time here was mentioned in the manger because of traditional belief that Jesus was born in a stable. And we think about these things and how we go through the day. Listen, there's a lot of things happening in our life. There's so many people there. There were so many things going on that if Joseph and them, even though their life has changed, they still stay true to the good Lord. Listen, as we go through this time today, a stable was a place where people fed their animals. A place was often dirty, in both, sometimes to say the least. Listen, this is not an ideal place for a king to be born, was it? It was not picture perfect. It's not the way that any people today. I know a lot of times at Christmas we paint a picture of a baby Jesus sitting in a stable and how nice and how clean it is. I don't know if you go to my barn today, you're not going to find that, right? You're not going to find it where it doesn't have a lot of things going on. And listen, but still yet, Jesus was born. And listen, some scholars even think it was like a cave cutout that they went back into for this time. Listen, how many of you would picture that of the way Jesus would have come into this world? How many times will we picture the goodness that God has given us that we have done nothing to earn? But listen, he come in this way. Listen, this morning, church, as we think about how life goes and how much we put in our life, listen, make sure there is room for Jesus in your life. I'm going to tell you, in 2020, there's been a lot of junk you could put in your life and crowd him out. There's been enough doubt and enough negativity in 2020 to diminish everything he has inside of you. So this morning, as we think about Christmas, as we think about settling, listen, Mary and Joseph had already come huge hurdles even to get to Bethlehem. Wouldn't you agree? It wasn't an easy task. It wasn't an easy way for them to even to get to where they were going. Listen, but even still, much less making the trip with her being pregnant, this morning, church, what do you need to thank God for bringing you through this morning? I want you to think about that. As you celebrate Christmas, you thank God for what he's brought you through this morning. And I guarantee I could get you all up here and you could start thinking God's brought you through so much. Listen, and they were going through Bethlehem for census to pay taxes, but things changed. What is changing in your life, in my life today, that you just need to trust God? So many times we try to put our trust in other things, don't we? So many things we just need to trust God. My wife, we've watched a movie this week that I would recommend, and I'm not making a big plug. It says Running From Your Roots, and it was a pastor on there that his church was going through a rough time, and everything he said, we're just going to trust God. Are you trusting him with everything you got today? You put all your trust in him and just asking him to work in your life. Listen, this was Mary's first child, what we said. The first step of coming to believer is accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior. If you hadn't done that, it's a great opportunity to do that. Listen, a manger instead of a bed. Most people would say a king should never be laid in a manger, but a humble king would. And this is it, guys. This is where we're at today. Is there room for Jesus in your life? Is things happening in the world today at a rapid pace? People are filling their lives with stuff and leaving little room for Jesus. I want you to think about this. When Jesus and Joseph and Mary rolled up into town, as they come in, as they was headed in, and he probably thought that, hey, I could probably get a room and it'll be good. And he got to checking and there was no room. And they're like, hey, we got a stable, we got a place for over here. But listen, how many people today that are going out through society that have left no room for Jesus? Let me ask you a personal question this morning. Is there room for Jesus in your life? Your life will reflect that. A lot of people says, oh, yeah, man, I got this. I'm good to go. I've got it in there. Listen, but your life will reflect if there's room. Or is there stuff that you need to clean out and give him room that he needs to totally change your life? See, I found that that's true for everybody's life. I share with you all the time that if you ever build a house, you need to build like a certain room for a closet, right? Because there's never any room in the closet. Some of you guys are smiling because you know that you have no room in your closet. Let me tell you something, guys. That's what we're doing with who Jesus in our life is. We're leaving little to no room for him to change our lives. We give him enough to say, hey, we're Christians, we're believers, But listen, he totally wants to change your life. He wants to change how you look at other people. He wants to change how you love other people. Why? Because of who he is. He wants to change our lives. Let's pray together. Father, this morning, Lord, I couldn't imagine the trip that Joseph and Mary went on with her being expecting a little one. Father, I couldn't imagine what was going on in their minds as they was making that trip, and much less already what they'd already been through with the angel of the Lord appearing to them and speaking to them and speaking to Mary and to Joseph and saying, hey, listen, this is the way it's going to be and all these things. But they were faithful and they started making that trip. And Father, I have to believe that their conversation was about how faithful you have been to them and the promises that you made them. Now, Father, everybody here this morning and the ones that may watch it later on the internet, Father, you have been faithful to us. And Father, I believe that you're still speaking to our hearts today. So, Father, they roll up into town and they see that the town is crowded. There's no room. There's absolutely no rooms open anymore because they didn't have anything. And in about that time, Father, Mary starts feeling the birth is coming on. And, Father, they had to find somewhere. And so they find a stable or a cave cut out, whatever exactly it looked like. It was not a place that anybody would want to say, hey, I want my child to be born there. So, Father, they get to this point in time in their lives, and Father, they know then that the baby is born. Everything is changing at a rapid pace. Father, I know that's true for people's lives here today. Our lives are changing at a rapid pace that we sometimes don't even know how to fathom or even wrap our minds around. Father, you sent your son Jesus to be born in a manger. In a place that nobody would expect. But Father, you didn't stay little. Father, you grew up and you showed each and every one of us by the words in this Bible, by the example, of how to live a Christian life, to how to live a life of love and commitment, and how to make all the room in the world for you. Father, you even died on the cross for the freedom of our sins today. So, Father, why in the world do we fill our lives with so much other stuff? Why do we leave little or no room for the King? The one who defeated death, hell, and the grave and sitting at the right hand of the Father today. Why do we leave so little room? So I pray today, Father, each and every one of us, Father, we rid our lives of the things that leaves little room for you. And Father, today we just fill ourselves up with you today. Father, our lives, Father, need to be directed by the King. So today, Father, as we here in just a few days, we'll celebrate your birth. Father, I want to say thank you today for who you are in our lives. And Father, I ask you to forgive us for the things that we've done that's not been pleasing to you. Father, it's in your name we pray. Amen.